Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. There is no good political news for President Bush in the latest unemployment numbers, which, as we hear from business reporter John Stair, remained at a five-year high last month with nearly 9 million Americans out of work.
January's 7.1% unemployment rate is unchanged from December, sticking stubbornly to a five-year high. The number of new jobs actually created fell by 91,000. And something not represented in this report is the number of so-called discouraged unemployed, those who've quit looking for work. Some estimates put that figure at more than 1 million. If the economy picks up and they start looking for work again, they will temporarily raise the jobless figures. Most analysts say, therefore, it will be a while before the unemployment figures begin to show improvement. John Stair, CBS News, New York.
President Bush, after unveiling his plan to give Americans more access to health care, stopped en route to California to promote his approach at a Las Vegas hospital.
I am determined to push for a health care plan that will work. I think we've got it, and I think we can do it without diminishing the wonder of individual initiative and excellence.
This is Randall Pinkston in San Diego. A San Diego immunization clinic is the third and final stop in the opening of the president's road campaign to gain support for his health reform proposal. In response to sharp criticism from congressional Democrats who call the plan inadequate, one senior administration official said the president's proposal is superior to anything his opponents have offered. Criticism has also come from some hospital groups which face the prospect of lower federal reimbursements if the plan is approved. Even as he attempts to sell his health care package, the president is carefully gauging reaction. Mr. Bush is not revealing how he would pay for the proposal, nor has he submitted legislation to Congress. But senior administration officials say if Democrats are serious, the White House is willing to negotiate the details of the plan and the means to finance it. Randall Pinkston, CBS News, San Diego.
Traditionally, New Hampshire is one of the nation's most Republican states. But as correspondent Scott Pelley tells us, many traditional GOP voters and independents are deserting the Republican fold in this year's primaries.
In New Hampshire, the severe economic downturn is shaking the foundations of this Republican state. Voters are moving toward the Democratic Party, many feeling betrayed by the Reagan-Bush revolution. Kay and Bob Butler were true believers. They opened their New Hampshire electronics factory at the beginning of the Bush presidency. 4 years later, they have laid off almost all their 60 employees. Two more were cut last Friday.
We'll probably have to close our doors.
How soon?
Within 2 or 3 months.
In Manchester, County Registrar Leo Bernier is watching a sudden shift in registrations.
4 years ago, people were registering independent and Republican. Today, they're registering as independent and Democrat.
On issues ranging from health care to job creation, the Democratic candidates are swaying the state's large segment of independent voters. Pollsters now predict the independents could join with Democrats in the general election to hand Republicans a defeat here for the first time since 1964. Scott Pelley, CBS News, Manchester, New Hampshire.
Democratic presidential candidate Bill Clinton is on the defensive once more. The New York Post reports that a key financial backer, Jackson Stevens, played a key role in the U.S. debut of the scandal-ridden Bank of Credit and Commerce International. Clinton is also having to explain his Vietnam-era draft deferment. The Wall Street Journal reported yesterday he got a deferment in 1969 after pledging to join an ROTC program at the University of Arkansas, when in fact he never attended law school there. Clinton insists he played by the rules, but rival Tom Harkin sees an opening.
The last thing that Bill Clinton needs now is another story questioning his veracity and his character. I believe this is going to hurt badly.
Vice President Quayle, on a visit to Finland, today called for detailed press scrutiny of Clinton's draft deferral. CIA Director Robert Gates is visiting Egypt, Israel, and Saudi Arabia. The New York Times quotes some U.S. officials as saying Gates is discussing covert efforts to topple Iraq's Saddam Hussein. Other officials, though, insist it's merely an inspection tour of CIA stations in the region. Israel's Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir says his country is no longer committed to follow, quote, every word, unquote, of the Camp David Accords in negotiations with Palestinians from the occupied territories. Time has passed and things have changed, he told the Jerusalem Post. This morning, spokesman Ehud Gol played down that quote.
The basic situation that existed then does not exist right now. He did not elaborate, he did not go into details, but as far as our commitment to the Camp David Accords is still unshakable.
One Camp David provision under fire from Jewish settlers would set up a Palestinian police force. Presidents Mitterrand of France and Yeltsin of Russia today signed a cooperation treaty and promised to work together to keep the peace and cut nuclear stockpiles to what they called minimum sufficiency. For the first time, a Pakistani official has publicly confirmed that his nation is in the nuclear bomb business. Foreign Secretary Secretary Shahryar Khan has told the Washington Post, quote, the capability is there, unquote, to build at least one A-bomb. Khan has pledged to U.S. officials that Pakistan will not explode a nuclear device or sell the technology to another country. Leaders of Northern Ireland's four major political parties have accepted Prime Minister John Major's call for a summit to halt sectarian violence. It would be the first in 16 years. So far this year, 26 civilians have been killed in Ulster, 12 this week alone. Panama's President Guillermo Andera claims he was the target of an assassination plot and has ordered a former police official jailed in a coup attempt. Andera told a local radio station last night that police would give more details of the plot today. A South Korean scholar today revealed copies of a document he says shows the late Japanese Emperor Hirohito approved the conscription of Korean women as sex slaves for Japanese soldiers during World War II. Lee Dong-chun says he found the document in the library of the Japanese Parliament. Many questions remain this morning in the crash of a Kentucky Air National Guard C-130 transport into JoJo's Motel and Restaurant in Evansville, Indiana. 16 people were killed, 11 of them on the ground. At least 19 others were injured, three critically. CBS News correspondent Bob Faugh has more.
The military ordered that civilian bodies be removed first, and nine were, all trapped and horribly burned in the fourth floor conference room of the hotel, where one wing of the giant transport plane slammed down, spraying fuel and igniting a huge fireball. Two other civilians remain buried in the restaurant nearby, along with the five crew members. They will be removed after special heavy equipment is brought in, equipment which will also help retrieve the cockpit voice recorder, which is still missing. Also missing, an explanation why. Pilot was experienced. The plane, though built in the late 1950s, was considered safe. But it came in too slow and too low, said one eyewitness, then fell from the sky, said one Kentucky Air National Guard pilot who has logged hundreds of hours on C-130s. If you add it all up, an accident like this couldn't happen, adding, we're at as great a loss as you are as to what could have caused it. Bob Fall, CBS News, Evansville, Indiana.
The government today fined a major Georgia peach packing company over $1 million for employing illegal immigrants. The fine against Lane Packing is the largest civil fine ever levied against an employer by the Immigration and Naturalization Service, which says it has broken a major alien smuggling ring. Actress Helen Hayes, the 91-year-old first lady of the American theater, is reported in stable condition after being hospitalized in New York for exhaustion. She went into the hospital last Saturday. The dollar is higher overseas. London gold is up a dime this morning. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is ahead, 8.27. Checking the time on the World News Roundup, 10 minutes now past 7.